Hey folks, welcome to another jam-packed episode of Dance Fever, Southern West Virginia's favorite dance competition recap show. I'm one of your hosts, Eddie Lee.
I'm the other, Terry Ann.
Jam-packed because we have a third show that we're talking about. It's only going to be about six episodes, but we're talking about it nonetheless. It will fill the final slot in our lineup today, batting cleanup, but first...
No, it's going to be in the middle.
Lead off.
It's going to be the cream.
Oh, your favorite.
The cream.
Your
puff.
Favorite is last.
It's going to be the cream in the middle of the cookie.
Okay. So, these are the dance competition shows for October, let's say, 10th through the 16th to cover the dates that all three of these shows were on. So, no, those aren't the right dates.
15th. Yesterday was the 15th.
Oh, well, but we're recording it on the 16th.
I know, but we're talking about dance shows.
We can't count
before the,
tonight, so
no.
Okay. So, the 15th. Yes. But we're going to start off with...
Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing with the Stars.
Where it's dedication night.
Season 33, episode... is it episode 4, really? It's week 4. It's actually episode 5 because we had two
in 1 week.
Yeah, so they're getting all goober there on the wiki. Anyway, so
we have Julianne and Alfonso as our hostess and host. We have Carrie Ann, Derek, and Bruno as our regular judges, and then Mark Ballas has come back to be a guest judge. When I give out scores, it will be Eddie Lee's scores, and then mine, and then Carrie Ann, Derek, Mark, and Bruno.
And
Mark's well used to Bruno, so they could stick him beside him.
Oh, yeah. Mark is okay with Bruno. I think he absolutely ignored him by the looks of it.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight probably was as emotional as dancing has gotten in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
So
we both cried.
Yeah.
I was going to not talk about it till we got there.
Well, but, I mean, just that much.
Teaser. So, the first couple out in their dedication night was Chandler and Brandon. She did a contemporary dance, and she dedicated to her mom.
Didn't they do it?
Yes.
Contemporary dance?
They did. They did a contemporary dance.
He just
dance.
Stood there, and
yes.
She contemporarily
Lord,
danced around
it's
him.
It's going to be one of those nights.
So,
and it was to
hey,
her mom.
Words are important.
And Derek was visited them to give them pointers.
Yeah.
And his pointers to her was to get more emotion in your dance.
That was something else for this week, to help them with the dedication week, I guess. I don't know. But the judges, minus Mark, visited each of the...
Well, there's nine people, so
the
they each
couples.
Took three.
Yeah, but it would have been cool to see Mark go to somebody. I'm sure some of these dude dancers would have liked talking to Mark again.
Probably so.
You know. They danced to Leanne Womack's I Hope You Dance.
And Eddie Lee gave her a 7. I gave her an 8, and so did everyone else. So, there you go. That's rather consistent.
Hey, I was hard this night.
Well, no, not really. You were hard. That was the only one.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Stephen and Riley came out and did an Argentine tango, and he dedicated his dance to men's gymnastics because he said that it really helped him through his life. Because with that kind of thing, you start really, really young. And he has even done a heartfelt Facebook post on how... men's gymnastics is going to possibly be killed by the NCAA if people don't step up and say they want to keep it, because the NCAA has killed a lot of what they consider alternative sports, and gymnastics is on their radar.
And can we posit as to why the NCAA is doing that?
Because there's not enough money in it.
Exactly. Because it doesn't, because women's gymnastics brings in more money, but when you want money in the NCAA, you're talking majorly, not exclusively, but majorly men's sports, led by football, far and away, with a not even remotely close second, but second being men's basketball. Now, recently, the women's basketball has been gaining a lot of momentum. But yeah, traditionally, after football... money tails off pretty quick, and I would imagine that men's gymnastics is way down at the end of that. So, but then that's like, cost cutting, and I'm throwing up the finger quotes here, education in the U.S. is suffering through that in a lot of municipalities.
Yeah. And it's mostly arts.
The arts are
being cut.
The things that are cut because, well, nobody needs them. Nobody uses them. I don't know what the justification is.
And I don't understand that.
So,
why the America is going that way because they are so hept on pointing to China and Japan, saying, you know, their education, their people are so much smarter, they do so much better on the standardized tests, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da about, you know, the students from China and Japan. And arts is a big thing in their education. Most
always has been.
Most of the kids that aren't in poverty level know some sort of instrument because they feel that's important.
Yeah.
But yet we focus on their science and their math scores, but we don't focus on the fact that perhaps arts gives them an outlet to then learn better when they have to learn something like that. And a lot of music is very scientifically,
very mathematically
sound. So, you know, maybe they should just be looking at the whole picture and not just one part of the picture.
Well, and this also includes sports, but how many times do you hear people speak of their journey? And their journey is rescued, let's say, or their haven is something not academic, whether it be the arts or sports. It's just...
You have to have a yin and a yang. You have to have the other side.
It seems like every success story. You know, now sometimes, you know, they'll talk about, well, my... You know, my sixth grade English teacher or whatever. But usually it's my coach. It's my music teacher. It's my speech teacher or my debate teacher. Or
a dance teacher.
All of these things that are not math and science. And, you know, so, yeah, I'm not sure I understand why. But then I will go ahead and say that I think most of the people in the U.S. that make decisions, I don't understand why anyways. Not
money
anymore.
Driven, as you always say.
Well, but it goes beyond that, I think.
Yep. Okay, back to Stephen and Riley doing their Argentine tango.
They danced to the White Stripes' Seven Nation Army, which I didn't know by the title, but by hearing it, I hear that all the time.
And Bruno visited them and told him to create a character and get into the character. And that would help him in his dance. And he was right. He got eights from us, an eight, a nine, an eight, and an eight from the judges. So that was very good for Stephen. That was his best dance. Danny and Whitney did a contemporary piece, and he dedicated his to Coach Mike Leach, who drafted him out of high school. Into college. No, give him a scholarship to college.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
They don't draft, but no. It doesn't matter. It's the same point. Well, since he was 16, that was like early in high school.
Early in Coach Leach's world also.
16. Yeah, I guess that would be like just getting into high school. Mm-hmm. So maybe he coached him somewhere else before Leach got to be a college coach or something. I don't know.
But, okay, contemporary dance too.
To the ex-ambassadors version of Unsteady, the Eric Lee Gravity remix, which the individual words are good, but all of the words together, I don't understand.
Carrie Ann visited him and told him that he needed to emote
more feeling.
Put more feeling into it. She said, I know you feel it, but I know you also don't show it because that's the way he was football.
Yep.
He was sports. You don't show when you're hurt. You don't show, you know, you may show some passion and be like up in somebody's face with your touchdown.
Talking smack.
But she told him, she said, all of the feelings that you had that you couldn't convey to the coach because he passed away before you had a chance to tell him, convey it in this dance. And he must have done it because he got straight nines. Nines from everybody.
Yeah, he still didn't act any differently.
Oh, I thought he did.
When he...
He did.
Okay.
I was watching his face, and I thought that he did.
He must have been hiding a lot.
Next was Dwight and Daniela doing a rumba that he dedicated to his kids. He had five of them. They were all there.
And they danced to Shoot for the Stars as sung by Dwight Howard.
There you go. And they got sevens from us, a seven, an eight, a seven, and a seven. So we're all pretty, we were pretty much with the judges most of the night.
And I do want to point out also that Mark, in most of his comments, gave them something to work on. Mm-hmm. Most of the comments from the other three judges, they didn't. At least not really too much this episode. But Mark made
Mark
it a
and
point.
Derek more than anybody.
Well, yeah,
Bruno was like, yes, what he said. And Carrion's always the feely-feely.
Yeah.
Phaedra and Val then came out and did a rumba. I wish they wouldn't put them back to back.
Oh, and, the same dances.
Mm-hmm, and she dedicated hers to her mom. And Bruno visited and told her she needed to move more between the moves and not let Val move her, that she needed to do the moving.
They danced to Celine Dion's Because You Loved Me.
They got a seven from Eddie Lee, a six from me, and then all eights from the judges. I didn't think it was worth an eight, but
well,
then, you
all
know,
four of the judges
all
did.
Four of the judges did, so there you go.
Have we passed the
no.
place where Mark, and it, where Derek broke the five paddle and threw it away? Who was that for?
That was Phaedra.
Phaedra, okay.
As she got done and he was, and he picked, instead of giving any critique, he stood up, he held up the five paddle and broke it and said, you're not going to get a five, and threw it.
Yep. So.
This is where we broke for the Derek and Haley back to the ballroom story. This is Haley's return to the Dancing with the Stars ballroom dancing. They did a contemporary piece.
They danced two beautiful things. The acoustic version by Benson Boone.
And it was a beautiful song about, thank you for not taking the best thing away from me. And it was Derek, I'm going to cry. Because it was very moving. It was
very moving.
They told the story about how they were on tour and she was supposed to come out on stage at the end to be with him for the bow kind of thing. And the manager came, stage manager came out and said, Derek, she's not coming out. Come on. And he went back, he ran back, and she was having convulsions and seizures at the side of the stage. And they got her immediately, didn't change their clothes, nothing. They just got her immediately to the hospital, immediately took her back for her surgery. And he said the doctor came out and told me that he asked if she was going to live, and the doctor said she might, but she won't be the same. So he said that they showed pictures of him beside the bed. You know, she's in the bed after the surgery and he's laying on a mattress in the floor beside the bed. And he said the best thing in the world was when she opened her eyes. The first thing she asked him was, weren't we just dancing?
What happened? Weren't we just dancing?
And he said that just tore him up because he knew then that she was still there.
Right.
Because
yeah.
the doctor had told him that she wouldn't be there. It wouldn't be Haley. She wouldn't remember, you know, she wouldn't know who he was.
Right,
probably.
Right there
and,
she was.
Right, and right where there she wrote, right where she left him.
Yep.
It's like she remembered exactly what they were doing right when it happened.
So the only thing she lost potentially was the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm. So they showed pictures of her with the side of her head shaved and her face misshapen because they had to remove bone to relieve pressure to get the aneurysm. And then they had to go back later and put bone back in and reshape her face.
How much of her skull was missing?
Half.
40%?
Yes, almost half.
Wow.
And she had to relearn how to walk. And the doctors were like, you know, this is good, but she won't dance. And she... That was a beautiful. We could not see any.
It didn't look like she had missed
any
a beat.
Level of quality missing from, because she was one of our favorite dancers from before, even when she was in the troupe.
Yep.
And we didn't see any quality of dance missing. And Derek said that they danced in front of in the same town as the hospital where the doctors did the operation. And I had read this on Facebook, they invited everyone from the hospital for free.
All the medical
to
people.
Come watch the show, which is expensive, let me just say. Not that he's not worth it.
Yeah,
I'm just saying it's very expensive.
Derek tickets aren't cheap.
No, they aren't. Invited them all to come. And he said after the dance was over, they met up with the doctor and some of the other staff. And the doctor said, You know, Derek made a comment about his miracle, and the doctor said, "You don't know. This is a miracle." And he's like, yeah, it's a miracle. And the doctor's like, "No, Derek, this, what she just did is a miracle." And he said, that's when it really hit him. And then they danced and everybody cried. I cried. Eddie Lee cried. Everybody cried. Everybody that was there cried. Yep. Because it was a beautiful dance. And I read an article after the show that Haley was really torn up a little by the images that were shown of when it first happened, because she had not seen them for a very long time. Because she said she focused on today, tomorrow, not what happened in the past. So she hadn't seen that footage, what she looked like and what, you know, from back at the first when it happened, for a very long time, and had intentionally, you know, not paid attention to that. Today, tomorrow is my focus. So it kind of like messed with her a little bit. And I would say that it probably would.
Sure, yeah.
You know, to be reminded. But anyway, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. The dance was beautiful. The song was beautiful. The feelings were beautiful. And if they love each other half as much as they look like they loved each other during that segment, then they'll be 102 dancing together in love.
Good stuff.
So then we had to segue back to the next the couples.
Yeah, we had to go back to the show.
Yeah. And Brooks and Gleb came out and did a salsa, and she dedicated it to her three sisters that she said means the world to her. And Carrie Ann visited her and told her to move more between the steps and to connect them better.
They danced to J Balvin and Willie Williams' rendition of Mi Gente.
Her sisters actually danced the beginning of the dance with her, kind of like line dancing almost looked like.
Kind of like a girls' night out.
Yeah.
And then she met up with, or just met a dude. And
And we gave him sevens. Everybody else gave him eights. So there you go. Then Joey and Jenna did a Viennese waltz, and he dedicated his dance to his new fiance. He is the bachelor of the season. And Bruno visited them and said, you're good. You're just so good. You just need to keep up what you're doing and be more expansive.
They danced to Lose Control by Teddy Swims.
And they got all nines. I think it was my favorite dance of the evening.
I think so.
And then Ilona and Alan did a rumba, and she dedicated it to her team, her rugby team.
Women's rugby team. The U.S. national women's rugby team.
And Carrie Ann visited them and told her to show her sexy. Be more accepting of your body than you already have been. She said, you've been doing wonderful, but just show you're sexy. Be flirt, you know, be curvy, be sexy.
They danced to Yasalt's My Way.
And they got all eights. It was very good.
Yep.
It was very good.
It was awesome.
Hello. And then...
Sorry about that.
Jen and Sasha ended our evening with a foxtrot, and she dedicated it to Taylor Swift. She said she had a very rough childhood. Her parents were very volatile, is how she put it. There were police at her house a lot. And she was very unsure of what was going to happen from day to day. And I know how that feels. I lived that as a child in some manner. Not police people, but, you know, that's okay. And she just felt that Taylor Swift helped her get through those days. Derek visited her and told her to keep her frame.
She danced to The Archer by Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm. And they got sevens from us and eights from everybody else. And that was the end of the dance show. We went to commercial. Everybody was supposed to wrap up their voting, which he said, once again, there has been phenomenal more voting season than any other season. I don't know. And they brought him back out and said, safe were Jen and Sasha, Ilona and Alan, Phaedra and Val, Joey and Jenna, Stephen and Riley, and Danny and Whitney. And the bottom three, though not necessarily in this order, but one of them's going home. Dwight and Daniela and Chandler and Brandon were safe, and Brooks and Gleb left. She was middle of the pack.
I bet Gleb's not happy.
And they left. And I can only say it wasn't her dancing, because her dancing wasn't that bad.
Just
that she did not. Just be voting. She did not connect with the audience.
All of these massive numbers of votes are going to everybody else but her.
Mm-hmm. People like a good, heartwarming story, and all she was flirty with Gleb.
And she was a swimsuit model.
And I don't think people really heartwarming about Gleb like they do about Derek, or they do about Sasha, or the Val. There are some, I'm sure, that move forward because the pro they're with.
Right, because of the pro.
As much as who they are.
Sure. Yeah.
Because people like the pros. People love Whitney. I mean, on Facebook, you wouldn't believe the number of comments that are on the posts, not just about Dancing with the Stars, but she has her own page. People love Whitney, just like they love Lindsay, who is not here because she's having children.
They're all American.
Yeah, I know.
It's everything that we like about people. Mm-hmm. They seem to exemplify that, as far as we know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. So Derek, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, again, as far as we know, the same thing. You know, so
yeah, everybody that I read the comments, I don't read all the comments, there's too many, but all the comments that I did read, just about everybody mentioned Mark and how much they loved seeing him again and they want him to come back and dance again.
I'm glad to see him.
What are you doing? We don't see you anymore.
He brought a particular style, a particular attitude to it, much like Val does.
Mm-hmm.
He and Val, I think...
Val and Derek were all three dancing pros on the same show, and then you add Max to that, those four, you never knew what you were going to get, but you knew it was going to be good.
Yeah.
If their partner had any kind of ability whatsoever, those four could just bring it out.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, just think back to Max and Kirstie.
Mm-hmm.
She was about as non-dancing as anybody gets. Yeah.
Anything else about next week?
Next week is Disney night.
Mm-hmm.
We do know that.
Mm-hmm.
We have no indication that I see of what dances.
Okay.
2, 4, 6, 8 couples left, though. We do know that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is it for
next
week.
Alrighty then. It is pretty early.
The show was just last night.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've not gotten around and socialed and interviewed and all that stuff too much yet. So
now we're going to go to our new...
Our new show. And everybody have patience with me because I took notes on this one and it is something...
You're taking the lead.
I am not used to doing is taking notes. I'm used to just watching. So I'll do my best. I might jump back and forth a little bit because my notes are kind of scattered. I didn't know what to expect. And my notebook wasn't appropriate, and so I've got stuff written everywhere. So, we're talking about Roller Jam, Season 1, Episode 1.
Which to us is Dancing on Skates.
Which
Dancing on Skates.
Is mostly what it was.
Yes.
Yes. Now the show...
Yeah, don't imagine Roller Derby. This was...
No.
This was Roller Dancing.
Not that kind of Roller
Jam. This was Roller Dancing.
Not like Roller Ball. Or any of those others. Apparently.
Who's our hostess?
There are Jordan Sparks.
Yes.
Was the hostess.
Who were our judges?
The judges were Johnny Weir of ice skating fame.
Mm-hmm.
Peppa of music fame.
Now, is she going to be there every week?
No.
Okay. She's the rotating. That's the rotating spot.
Right. There will be a rotating judge based on the style of music. So... To me, that almost means that it's going to be a music or maybe TV movie personality who rose to fame during the era that the music is from, because every week is supposed to have a different era of music. Having said that, this week was 90s week, this first week.
Mm-hmm.
The third judge, there'll be three judges every episode. The third judge was...
And permanent judge.
Terrell Ferguson. Who is several things. He's an original Soul Train dancer, which it's interesting because we ran across Soul Train last week on Dancing with the Stars. They had
a Soul Train night.
A couple people and a group of them there to watch. So I guess maybe this season, maybe this year is like an anniversary.
Well,
for
I know
Soul
they
Train
have they're introducing the new Soul Train show on Broadway. Remember?
Yeah, the musical.
So maybe they've just tied it in with everything.
But he's also apparently an expert roller skater of the style that the contestants are supposed to represent, which is some of it was familiar to me, some of it was not. Unfortunately, my familiar with roller skating is from things that I have seen back in the 70s when I was a little kid. Since then, I haven't seen it too much, so I'm not as familiar with necessarily what it will be. There is a heavy artistic presence in roller skating now. There are world championships and things like that in doubles and pairs and things, much like ballroom dancing is, which I didn't know that it was that sporty that they did that. So now the show, I've seen a couple different things, and I'm not sure the winner gets money and their local skating rink gets money. Now, what I have seen, I saw tonight, was the total purse was $150,000 is what I've seen, with the local roller skating place getting $10,000. I don't know if that's part of the 150. I don't know if the 150 is only for winners or if second place gets any money. Nobody seems to be clearly delineating that for us as to what to expect, which, as far as watching it, doesn't really matter.
No.
I'm sure the participants know exactly who
what they're going to get.
Yeah, they know what they're fighting for. So this episode, which I found out was called, where did I write that? I wrote that over here. They consider qualifying round one smells like team spirit was the name of the episode.
Okay.
And I think that was from the Cinemax Magnolia people.
Okay.
Smells like, yeah. So this episode and at least the next episode, episode two, five teams, four move on. One team goes home. The entire competition that we're going to be seeing starts with 10 teams. They're scored. They do a routine. It's about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, to a song from the era that has been chosen. As I said, the era this week was 90s, and the DJ is Ari Spins, who apparently is going to be the DJ every episode. It's a DJ out of ATL, I think they said.
Okay.
Each performance of however many, and our groups varied, well, not too much. There were either four or five members in the five groups that we saw. So that tells me there must be a minimum number. I doubt we're going to see a team that is a duo, or we would have, because the 1-4 was two obvious sets of two. And that was ultimately part of the problem there in their choreography. So after the performance, each judge, I think, is how it is done, not as a total, but each individual judge scores the groups on a 100-point scale. 50 points for technique, which involves tricks, synchronicity, and footwork. The other 50 points is labeled creativity, which has to do with originality, presentation, and choreography. So that's actually six categories. Yeah. So. How the score ultimately is derived, I don't know. I guess they must take an average, because the scores, when they gave them to us to tell the audience how the participants did this episode, the highest was only like 87. So there must be, it must be an average, rounded, whichever way. And, okay, I think that's all the preliminary information there. So, we were introduced to each of the groups with a short vignette about the group. And then, after they performed, they kind of vignetted a little bit for the leaving group, and then broke to a vignette for the next group up. So there were a lot of short vignettes where you heard about one or two of the members or something about the group as a whole or something like that. Now, starting off the episode, we got the names and the locations of each of the groups because they did kind of a little flyby in the camera. So you got to see how many members, the makeup of the group. They displayed the name of the group and where they were from.
To Poison, Poison. That was the song.
No, that was the...
That was the fly-in.
Oh, was it the fly-in
too? It was the fly-in.
They used that again later in the episode also. Okay, so now we have the group. Now, we hear critiques from the judges, just like we do Dancing with the Stars and Strictly. We even see them potentially afterwards talking about how it should be scored or things to look at as they're talking amongst each other as far as scoring. But we have no idea who scored what. No. Even at the end, because it's a composite average, we have no idea who did what. So the first group out was the Bad Boys Skate Crew from Atlanta, Georgia. And they did their choreo to the Backstreet Boys, Everybody. They looked to me, it's a group of five guys. They looked to me like Weekend or Every Other Weekend Warriors is how they looked. In their vignette, we heard that they're all working men. Some of them mention families. We don't know if they all have families. But so they're just working schmoes that get together. What did the dude say? A couple times a month?
Mm-hmm.
So that's like every 2 weeks or so, if that, to get choreo together and get, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it kind of looked it. They looked very recreational group.
Mm-hmm.
I could see these guys, if we had a skating rink around here, at the rink. Well, no, we do. I'm sorry. We've watched wrestling there. We're going to do a podcast, but no, we're not. But we watch a lot of wrestling. But yeah, I could see going some Sunday that they have wrestling and seeing these guys finishing up a skate or something like that. I mean, that's what they look like. I didn't bother to score. There's just too much involved, and I really don't know.
And we didn't really get scores for each team. We only got the scores for the first four, for the four that stayed. We didn't get a score on the last one, did we?
I have scores for all five.
Okay, cool. I wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry.
So they gave the top three that were safe, and then I think they gave the score for the low. And I'm not sure where the score for the one the other one that was in the end of competition, where that score came out. But somebody said something, whether it was Jordan or something like that. They should pop it up on the a leaderboard, so to speak. After
and maybe
they
will
it.
After.
Right. Yeah.
This next one.
We need to get the Waco people a little bit more involved, although she's supposed to be, we've seen from snippets coming up. All right, next up was the Lone Stars of Texas from Spring, Texas. And that was a mixed, I believe that was a two-man, two-woman team.
Mm-hmm. Actually the U.S. national team.
Yeah, one of the couples.
Both couples were on the U.S. national team.
One of them had world championship medal recently by the sounds of it, but they didn't say a world championship medal in what to look
and
it up.
They're trying
like
to get it in the Olympics.
Yes.
They're not polling.
Petitioning.
Petitioning. Thank you.
They danced to Hit Me Baby One More Time by Britney Spears. And they were more artistic kind of tricks. Whereas the Bad Boys did more cardio kind of tricks, acrobatic kind of tricks. The Lone Star couples, they were good as each couple, but the two couples were not synchronized very well.
They weren't a four-person team.
Yeah, that's not what they're used to doing, and that showed to me. Next up was the Trendsetters, and they come out of Columbus, Ohio. They danced to Can I Kick It from A Tribe Called Quest. They were five guys also, or not also. Actually, they were the only one with five guys. I'm sorry, the Bad Boy Skate Crew was mixed. It had four guys and a girl.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. But the Trendsetters, I said that wrong the first time. It's not Trendsetter. It's Trendsetta. Trendsetta. What? They also were more acro-tricky kind of stuff. some pretty impressive stuff if they'd have been able to completely pull it off, which a stunt at the end didn't quite go the way they wanted to. It didn't go badly, I didn't think. If you didn't watch it too close, you probably wouldn't have seen where it didn't go over.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't go over the last trick. The judges, Terrell, kind of called him out on that, kind of, but not like harshly. Next up was Hot Wheels, H-A-W-T, from Venice Beach, California. Four girls. Of course, they would be called Hot, not Hot. But mm-hmm. Yeah. These girls did the kind of stuff that the last time I paid any attention to roller skating is the kind of stuff that I saw. The Alphas and the whatever the kick out with the two legs was, and spins and some stuff like that. And that's what they do. It's Venice Beach. Apparently, the skating culture there is still stuck in the 70s because that's the tricks and that's what they did. They danced to, or they skated to, Wannabe from the Spice Girls. And then last was Skate Gravity from Las Vegas, Nevada. They were four mixed. Were they two male, two female?
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was even one way or another. That's interesting. They came out and danced to You Can't Touch This from MC Hammer. I was hoping that they would be the most polished of the groups, but I can't necessarily say that they were.
Oh, I thought they were the best. In an overall fashion.
I guess overall.
For what I expected from the show, I thought that they more met the criteria that I was looking for.
Yes.
And according to Terrell, it was also what he was looking for, because, you know, but he wanted them to do even more.
Right.
He said, I know you can do it. And the guy did a spin. He's like, that's what I'm talking about. See, I want to see more of that.
Like that.
When you do that. And I really expected them to be the best at it because of the vignette, because they are Cirque du Soleil and they're
performers.
You know, they're performers and they get together and they do this stuff. So I expected it to be very good.
Well, they did get the high score.
Mm-hmm.
After that, the
judges
deliberate. They handed off to Jordan, and she called out. They called all the groups out, much like you would. Well, anyways, yeah, called all five of the groups out, and Justin told them that Skate Gravity had the high score. They knocked out 87. Next was the Lone Stars of Texas with an 85. Bad Boy Skate Crew with an 80. So they all three went off.
Mm-hmm.
They're safe moving on to the next round. Not the next episode, apparently, but the episode after that. Leaving Leaving the
Hot
Trendsetters
Girls
and Hot Girls. Right?
Yes.
Three and four. Yeah, the Trendsetters and Hot Girls. So we found out that the Trendsetters got a 74. And the Hot Girl, or 78, and the Hot Girls got a 77. So, in being low score, low to high was only spread at 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
And the two bottom groups were only separated by
a
point.
Yeah.
With the difference between third and fourth being 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was, the bottom three were very close.
Yes.
So, those two now have to participate in the Elimiskate, as proposed by Jordan Sparks. That's what it's going to be called. So that's what it'll be called, an Elimiskate.
And they had to pick one member
right
of their crew to go out and do a skate-off, like you see them do in the breakdancing.
Right.
You see them breakdance, doing the dance-off. They had to do a skate-off.
The song was Poison by Belle Biv DeVoe,
mm-hmm.
and they each had 20 seconds
To do the most tricks.
To whatever routine they wanted to do. And of course, the Hot Girls sent out a girl. But the Trendsetters sent out a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently,
they were all guys.
Were they all guys?
Yeah, they were
okay,
all guys.
Okay, that's all they could send out. He was the trickiest of them.
Didn't really do any tricks.
He did very little.
I don't think they were prepared to be in the bottom Elimiskate.
The Hot Girl did much more.
Yeah.
Than
I think it's because she's probably more used to doing that solo stuff on the street in Venice, where these boys, trendsetters, are working Joes, and they're not used to performing on the street.
They skate as a group.
Yeah.
So, ultimately, the Hot Girls won the
Elimiskate
and move on to the second round, whereas the trendsetters, unfortunately, got sent home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we may... I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see more vignettes about the groups that go home as they interacted with all the other groups somewhere along the way, because they're going to have to do something to fill the time slot, given that there will be less teams performing. So
I figured they're going to make them do like two things, two routines. One,
oh, the,
one to a slow song,
later
and one
on,
to a fast song.
Pick,
you know,
pick one solo and do your
group. I figure they're probably going to put something harder at them, make them do more stuff.
So that was the first episode. I like everything about the show itself. I like the way it's set up. I like what they're trying to do. I enjoy watching roller skating.
Nobody got on
like
our
that.
Nerves. We liked Jordan. She was good.
Yeah.
Johnny's Johnny. You kind of get used to him after a while.
If you've listened to any of the last three Olympics or four Olympics,
mm-hmm.
then you've
or
heard
any of the dog shows. Him and Chick are on the dog shows,
too. You've heard Johnny wear, the other skater, mm-hmm.
Lipinski.
Tara Lipinski.
Lipinski. And we're going to have a different judge in that middle slot every week, so, you know.
Which will be interesting to see.
Marie McCormick is 1 week.
Waco Chick
is 1 week.
Joanna
Gaines is 1 week.
Who is, I don't think that's really fair because she's also a producer of the show. I don't think that's right.
Then next week they've already shown her on the commercials, but I can't remember who it is. I'm so bad. I didn't write it down. But anyway, I've seen a commercial.
I've seen her on the commercial.
But it's a pretty cute show.
Very much like
the dance competition shows
now. So the format works.
Mm-hmm.
You just insert whatever you're... And I mean, it's not just that. It's the singing shows. It's the talent shows. All have developed this very, very similar format.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, a panel of judges, you can save, you vote, you whatever, and then, so.
Okay, so we're going to move on to Strictly Come Dancing. Try not to hold y'all too much longer.
Oh, that's all right. We're at almost 44 minutes. So
there you
go. Our show.
So Strictly Come Dancing on the 12th and the 13th of this month, week 4. Tess and Claudia are our hostesses. The judging will be Eddie Lee, Terry Ann. Sorry, Craig, Motsy, Shirley, and Anton.
Bonza.
Yes, Bonza. And this did not have a theme.
No,
but
just a dance show.
Only 4 points separated the top 9 couples last week. So,
well, what is it this week? 5, 1, 2, 3, 4. More than 5 points separated the top 6.
Hmm.
So, we had
it's a close race, is what we're trying to say.
There's definitely two groups.
Yeah.
Or three groups. There's the one or two that are excelling. There's a
big pack
in
the middle.
And then there's the two or maybe three that are starting to suffer.
Yes. Barely holding on.
Yeah.
So first out, we're Shane and Nancy doing a cha-cha-cha.
Dancing to Sub's Ain't No Love, Ain't No Use featuring Melanie Williams.
And they got sevens from us.
I don't know any of that.
I don't know. And a 7, an 8, a 7, and an 8. And those are Craig, Motsy, Shirley, Anton. Then Sarah and Vito came out and did a foxtrot.
Dancing to Billie Eilish's Birds of a Feather.
And I love Vito telling his story about the birds and the feathers. But they had 2 sevens from us,
goodness,
a 6 from Craig, and then 7s from everybody else. So we're all pretty much feeling the same way about Sarah and Vito's foxtrot.
Everybody that does any kind of interviewing, whether it's the dance show or It Takes Two, wants to ask Vito a question,
mm-hmm,
and just sit back. Just let him, let loose of the reins, just let him run,
mm-hmm,
because boy, he will.
He's funny.
Here in the U.S., not used to his accent,
We have to really pay attention.
Wow.
Because it's like you're trying to catch what he's saying because he's really impassioned about it. But you really have to pay attention.
You get his emotion.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You probably don't understand what he's saying.
Mm-mm.
But you get the emotion. So it's, yeah. He's funny to watch.
Nick and Luba are dancing. He hurt his knee and wasn't able to dance last week in movie week.
Walking wounded.
So they are doing his movie week dance, the Charleston, to the Paddington Bear.
Rain on the Roof.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Paddington 2.
And they did a Charleston. They got sixes from us because we're very generous. Then they got a 4, a 6, a 5, and a 6.
We're not overly generous.
It was...
Motsy and...
I probably should have given him a 5. I was like, hey, okay. He's hurt and wounded, and he went out there anyway. So Jamie and Michelle did a salsa.
Dancing to Don Omar and Lucenzo Danza Kuduro.
It was a very good salsa song.
Yes.
You gave him an 8. I gave him a 7. He all got an 8, a 9, a 9, and an 8. I didn't think it was worth a 9.
I don't think
the technique, the feeling was there. The enthusiasm was there. The fun was there. The technique was not really there.
Week 4, maybe let up on the technique a little bit.
It's week 4. Plus, he was in the Christmas.
Well, but they're only a third of the way through.
I know.
So.
And then Punam and Gorka came out and did a jive.
Dancing to Lizzo's To Be Loved, Am I Ready?
And if we're going to say, but it's only week 4, then she shouldn't have got a 4, a 5, no. a 5, and a 6.
I absolutely agree.
We gave her 6s. Everybody else was mean.
Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah, no. I don't know. I don't know.
Then Paul and Karen came out and did Paul's Best Dance Yet.
Easily.
A Quick Step.
Dancing to Fred Astaire's I Won't Dance.
And he got 7s from us, a 4 from Craig. 6s from the girls and a 7 from Anton. Anton's the only smart one. It was his best dance. Finally, he was not being silly or stupid. He just got into hold and he danced.
Did anybody ask Craig why he got a 4?
No, not yet.
He didn't?
No.
He didn't say anything?
No.
Yeah.
JB and Amy did a rumba.
Dancing to Cara Marnie's You Might Need Somebody.
And you gave him an 8. I gave them a 9. I thought he did a very good male star celebrity part in that rumba. I felt his hips and his extensions. I thought it was good. He got a 7 and 8, a 7 and 8. So I thought that he should have got better than that.
And we just finished watching an episode of It Takes Two for this current week. And they were one of the couples on the episode we just watched. And I really enjoy watching Amy in my head, which I don't know. I don't have any other proof than the fact that it's in my head. But to me, she seems to really enjoy what is happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, when she was out with cancer for a couple of years.
That's
so
what
I think when you have your life is over and then you get it back.
Well, that's what we want to say. That's what we want to see. But I mean, I haven't seen anything directly from her indicating that that's the case. I haven't seen her give an interview that she expresses that. That's what we want to see. That's probably how we would be given that situation. Yes. I don't want to put me on her necessarily, but I'm sure she can't be unhappy given the way, things went and everything like that. So.
And then Chris and Diane came out and did a salsa.
Dancing to Men at Work's Down Under.
And everybody but Craig gave him an 8. Craig gave him a 6. Because Craig.
No, what was it? Because
he was plotty.
The salsa, yeah.
He was too plotty.
Plotty. Although Craig pulled out all his Australian euphemisms here and was throwing them out.
Bunza.
All that kind of stuff. It affected a bad Australian accent. And so.
Montel and Johannes did a Viennese waltz.
Dancing to SZA's Nobody Gets Me.
And they got all 8s except for Anton. Gave him a 9.
Best dance of the night.
You liked it the best?
Yes, absolutely.
It was pretty.
Montel and Johannes are just such a joy to watch, I think. I really enjoy seeing them on the dance floor.
Sam and Nikita did a samba.
Dancing to Shakira's... No, that wasn't the thing. Dancing to Hips Don't Lie, which was the the actual song. Nikita, when it was first handed out, said it was a different song and got ribbed for it and corrected, and it came up two or three times. Yeah, it's been a whole funny thing here mm-hmm. the last week or so about that.
They got an 8 from you and a 7 from everybody else. And then Pete and Yowita did a quick step.
Dancing to the Jam's Town Called Malice.
Got 8s from us, 7 from Craig, 7 from Motsy, an 8 from Shirley, and a 7 from Anton. And then we ended our evening with Tasha and Aliaz doing a Charleston.
Dancing to Shania's Twain Unhealthy, Anne Marie's Unhealthy, featuring Shania Twain. Sorry.
And we gave them 8s, and they got a 9 and 3 tens from everybody else. And it could have been if our video hadn't been a little jumpy, we might have also given them higher scores. But what could have looked like a mistake probably wasn't really a mistake. It was just a jumpy video. So then we go to the vote-off show. We have Snow Patrol as our musical guest.
Which I'll go ahead and say for this season of Dance Fever, the vote-off show is filmed the same night and broadcast a different night.
Yes, because nobody wants to get all dressed up in the same clothes you were in that night before.
The next night.
And go out there and dance the dance if you're in the bottom two. Nobody wants to do that. It's all the same night.
Man, there is a contingent mm-hmm. of European fans
that can't get over
that just give them a hard time for the fact that it is two shows filmed together, broadcast separately. Mm-hmm. It just.
So that they can have Strictly on every night of the week.
I don't.
Because It Takes Two is Monday through Friday. Strictly is Saturday. And then the vote-off show is Sunday.
It's not
every
that.
Day of the week.
It'd be 10 or 11 o'clock on Saturday night when it was finally over.
I know. It's,
you know.
They're saving us. So the vote-off. Safe. Paul and Karen. Montel and JoJo. Johannes. Jamie and Michelle. Tasha and Aliaz. Wynn and Katja. Did we talk about Wynn and Katja? Did I skip them?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Wynn and Katja did a tango.
Dancing to ABBA's Money, Money, Money.
We gave them 7s. Everybody else gave them an 8, a 9, a 9, and an 8. Sorry.
Now we've talked about Wynn.
Yes. And Chris and Diane are safe. And in the dance-off are Shane and Nancy.
Wynn and Katja were caught up in a thing.
All over social media.
For,
to the point
for
that
a couple goofy, who cares
stupid
kind
things.
Of things. Yeah.
And Katja even had to say something on It Takes Two.
Right.
She said, let me just get this out here. It was nothing. Yep. Stop.
And she had already said that by herself on her socials.
Mm-hmm.
Monday night, the very first thing after they got sat down and introduced, she's like, let me take a minute before we get going. And
the night of the vote-off show,
mm-hmm.
it was already out,
mm-hmm.
and Wynn had said he was leaving. He was quitting. He couldn't deal with that. And I don't blame him. There's no sense in dealing with public attacking you like that for nothing.
To a point, I don't blame him, but ultimately, what the heck difference does it make what they say?
I know.
Honestly. I mean,
but
so
still.
What?
So what, they shouldn't say anything.
You have a radio show, you have two kids.
His whole radio show could just be down the toilet.
No.
But anyway, that was his initial reaction, but then he came down off the cliff.
You got to Wynn and Katja being safe.
Yeah. And I said Chris and Diane were safe. And then the dance-off were Shane and Nancy. And then we went to some other dance debrief where we saw some comments from Chris up in the Claudia booth when she takes all the ones who are safe up there and talks to
Claudatorium.
Yeah, the Claudatorium, and talks to them all, that are safe. And she was talking to Chris, and he's like, lifting without seeing is fun.
Mm.
And I can see it's like,
well, that's what Shirley was saying.
Mm-hmm.
How impressive that is.
Lifting without seeing. It was Shirley, not Chris. I'm sorry. That was during the dance. It was during the judge's debrief.
The dance debrief.
Yeah, where she said lifting. Because they were asking her, why are you so impressed with him? And she's like, you don't understand. You have to, when you can see someone and they're going to lift you, and you can look in their eyes, and they see when you start,
right,
and you see that they're
it's
ready.
All of that.
She says, it's like all sight there. And he's doing all this without seeing.
He's doing it essentially by feel.
Yeah.
Now, maybe she's also giving him
verbal cues.
Oral cues.
But still.
But yeah, it's not with sight.
No.
So that's, yeah.
Then we had Snow Patrol sing, and it was
very different.
Odd.
Yeah, and we have said that at least once a season on Strictly about a musical guest.
It was the part of the song, the low key part of the song was very monotonal with not very good quality of voice.
I would
but
almost
then
call
when
it
he
dissonant.
Broke out into chorus, it was much better.
With
when he
his
had
voice.
Backup singers,
yeah.
A lot of the music, and he was actually singing out loud. But when he was doing the other part of the song, it was very almost mumbly, to where you really had to listen to hear him, and it was very monotone.
As different as the examples that you will see about auto-tune and not auto-tune for singers that can't really sing.
But he could.
Yes.
Because when he belted out
they didn't
with his backup
auto-tune,
singers,
but it was
wonderful, but it was the song, and it was the way he wanted to be portrayed, and you go, he's an artist.
I didn't hear, so I don't remember necessarily the lyrics of that solo.
Me neither.
That probably played a part.
It probably
also
did.
It was the feel of whatever he was saying there, and then the chorus. Yeah.
And then we brought everybody back out, and safe was JB and Amy.
Really odd.
Pete and Yuita, Sam and Nikita, Punham and Gorka, and Sarah and Vito, which puts Nick and Luba in the bottom two.
That is expected. Shane and Nancy.
Not
that
expected.
That shouldn't be the case.
That right there tells you, Shane, you need to connect with your public audience.
You need to get some votes.
You need to get out there on social media and connect with your public audience.
Because, let's see. Sarah and Vito, JB and Amy, Chris and Diane, Sam and Nikita, Pete and Jawita, they all scored the same or lower.
Mm-hmm.
So that is 7. Let's see. Definitely lower was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six couples.
6 out of 13.
Scored lower than Shane.
Mm-hmm. So they danced for the judges, and everyone unanimously asked Shane to stay.
Voted for Shane.
Which was just as well, because Nick is probably need to go get his surgeries. He was talking on It Takes Two. It's time to go get his arm and his knee operated on.
Yeah, the shoulder first, and then recover, and then get the knee.
Yep.
So
we said goodbye to Nick.
Now, fortunate thing for Shane and Nancy, unless they have just a really bad dance, half of the group that they go up against, he can dance better than. So even though it might get to this thing where he's just not getting the votes, at least he is better than many of these people still there. So
if he doesn't mess up in his dance.
Yes, yes. Provided that he dances to his ability, he should be safe against about half of the group that's still here. If this gets to be a repetitive kind of thing, which we've seen before.
Yes, we have.
There was a female contestant last year, I think, for Strictly, that was there 3 or 4 weeks in a row. And she was far and away a better dancer, but just nobody
didn't
was voting for her. So, I don't vote. I get high scores. I go and dance. I win. I go next week. And it just repeated, you know. And after the third time or so, people are like, asking her, what do you think is going on? She's like,
you can't let it get you down. Like you say, it's got to mess with you mentally to know that people out there are not voting for you.
But it's out of your hands. I mean,
there's nothing you can do.
No control about that. So.
Promise everybody a cookie.
Ooh, we haven't had dessert yet.
I know.
It's only 7:30 here. There's time for dessert. All right, guys, we just hit the hour mark. Thanks for hanging in there as I stumbled through the roller jam part. Hopefully next week my notes will be a little better.
You'll have a bigger notebook.
I'll do a little bit better with that. If you want to leave feedback, you can find us at deliberatenoise.com/dancefever. That's the website. dancefever@gmail.com is the email address. And dancefever is on one social, and it's Twitter. Recently had to dump the Facebook. Thank you, Facebook. You suck.
Meta, not so meta.
So, we are
and
only
don't forget
on Twitter.
That fever is F-E-V-R-E. Maybe that's why they dumped us.
Yeah, no, I don't know what it is. But thanks a lot, guys. Next week, same three shows or more if something else jumps out and strikes our fancy. This is the new TV season right now here in the U.S., so we might catch on to something else that we want to add and make it an hour and a half show. Thank you very much. I got that from a commercial. So, thanks a lot, guys. We will talk to you again next week.
Bye.